Now, the U.S. technically reached its debt limit last month, and Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has already been in talks with Democratic President Joe Biden about getting the House to vote to raise it. House Republicans have called for discretionary spending cuts in return for votes to keep the country from defaulting. Then there are the non-discretionary programs, the mandatory spending programs like Social Security and Medicare. They're popular programs. They account for about a third of federal spending. But there are concerns about long-term funding for those programs and ongoing questions about whether changes are needed. Here's Speaker McCarthy talking to Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation this past Sunday.
You promised you won't spend more next year than you did last year. Are you willing to consider any reductions to Social Security and Medicare?
No, let's take those off the table. If you read our commitment to America, all we talk about is strengthening Medicare and Social Security.
Some Republicans, including Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, have suggested that Social Security and Medicare should stop being mandatory spending programs and be subject to annual budget reviews in Congress. You can join in with your thoughts on Social Security and Medicare at 800-642-1234. Are you worried about their long-term well-being? Do you want to see changes in benefits, how they're paid for? It gets complicated, but do you have ideas you would like to share? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Mark Pocan is a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, which includes Madison and surrounding areas in South Central Wisconsin. He sponsored recent legislation on Social Security and Medicare. Representative Pocan, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
I want to first ask about something you are co-sponsoring called the Protect Social Security and Medicare Act. What is the goal for this legislation?
We've already heard repeated attacks on Social Security and Medicare by a number of Republicans in the House and Senate. Despite what Kevin McCarthy says, we know any one of his members who decides to pull his chain, he gets yanked, and that's the deal he made to become Speaker. But, you know, just this week, someone said we should raise the age for Social Security benefits. We've had other people talking about cutting them. The largest caucus, I think, within the Republican Party, the Republican Study Committee has suggested putting it on the chopping block, as has Ron Johnson. So what we've done is introduce a bill that says it would take a two-thirds vote of Congress to cut Social Security or Medicare benefits. The idea is, these are two of the most popular programs the federal government offers. It's not our money, really. It's the money of everyone who's paid in through their paychecks throughout their working career. And it should be something that is a big bipartisan decision to cut these programs and not just, you know, a slim majority in the Republican that they have right now in the House.
Looking at Social Security in particular, you know, we've hit a point where we're paying out more than is being paid into Social Security. The idea is probably by around 2034, the surplus is going to go away and then benefits will have to be cut, by a decent margin, not completely, but by a decent margin. They're going to cut themselves if we don't make changes right now. Why not explore the idea of maybe small cuts or changes in the age now to avoid that automatic cut in, 11 years?
Well, there's a super simple change you can do that extends the life for 75 years, and that's simply lifting the cap on which you quit paying into Social Security. It's one of the few regressive taxes we have. Most people know income tax, the more you make, the more you pay a greater percent of your income. But when it comes to Social Security at around $160,000, you don't pay another dime in. So it's actually regressive. Those who make more pay less into the program. If we merely lifted that cap, we would extend the life decades for Social Security. And to me, that's a very simple fix.
As I mentioned, Senator Johnson and some others say, hey, let's take this off the autopilot of mandatory spending, put it into discretionary spending. The argument, I think, in favor of that being that's going to motivate Congress to do something to avert it, you know, that running short in 11 years. What would be wrong with that idea?
Well, the wrong part of that idea is, again, it's taking the idea that, again, you have to somehow cut money that people have paid in. We've made a trust that people who've given us this money through their paychecks, that they'll have the money when they need it, when they retire, whether it be through Medicare for health insurance or Social Security to continue to live. But it's not just up to us to willy-nilly make cuts to what people have paid into. They've had a promise from the government. Much easier is have, you know, those who make more money pay more into it
like virtually every other tax that's out there, and you can extend the life of the program without having to do what some people want to do, which is actually get rid of Social Security and Medicare. That's the real problem. You know, this week we had a resolution, a stupid resolution, condemning socialism. It combined Pol Pot and Norway, which I don't see how you do in any resolution. But they really showed their cards, the Republican Party, when there was an amendment that said Social Security and Medicare is not socialism, and they wouldn't accept it. So, you know, they've foreshadowed what they plan on doing. They plan on going after these programs. Enough of their members have said they plan on that. So we want to lift the ability to have that happen through a simple majority vote to really being a supermajority.
Talk to Representative Mark Pocan from Wisconsin, a Democrat, talking about Social Security in particular and Medicare and their future in the current Congress. Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Dave is with us in Menominee Falls. Dave, hi.
Hi, how you doing? Mark, you stole my thunder. That was my exact idea. First of all, you got to find, first of all, when a Republican calls it an entitlement, you need to sound an alarm and tell them it's not an entitlement. We paid our whole lives for that. And you should come up with a term like they came up with death tax. Come up with wealthy waiver or something like that. In other words, at $160,000, you stop paying. Come up with that. Start calling it what it is, a wealthy waiver. And you really get behind it and get people behind it. Somehow get it on the floor so it's voted on.
Dave, thanks for the call. Yeah. Representative Pocan?
Yeah, I mean, the caller is exactly right. It's stealing your money. You've paid into the program. Yes, we invest it so that there's money for the future generations, but it's a public trust. It's not that, you know, we can just take your money and do something else with it. It's our promise to you to hold your money, to make sure we have that money in the future for you. And that's why, you know, Social Security and Medicare are two of the most popular federal programs. That's why I find it amazing when people like Ron Johnson or the Republican Study Committee or any number of Republicans have proposed cuts either to Social Security or Medicare or raising the age of eligibility. You know, these are not answers to the problem. The problem is that we don't make those who make more than $160,000 pay an additional dime into it, so it's a regressive tax, and there's a pretty easy fix.
Thanks for the call, Dave. We'll go to Dick now in La Crosse. Dick, hello.
Hi. I think an interesting book for the people to read would be, it's called The Great Age Reboot, and it talks about the fact that Social Security was set up, I think, when the average length of life was 55 years. So if we think we can keep paying into the same system and not change a few things, there's something wrong. I think we have to have people work a little longer and basically raise the retirement age.
Dick, thanks for the call. We talked to the author of The Great Age Reboot on this show, but Representative Pocan, we're living longer. Now, already the retirement age, the Social Security age, is getting bumped up slowly a month or two at a time. Dick says we might need to do more of that.
Yeah, the problem is we are living longer, but our bodies aren't necessarily performing well longer. And, you know, if you are, I spoke this morning to a bunch of folks who work in the building trades, construction industries. You know, your body is not at 67, what your body was at 47, much less your body was at 27. And you just can't extend that age for someone who's laying bricks or working concrete. It's just impossible. So what are you going to do? Say those folks no longer can work. You know, you can work all you want into whatever age. I mean, I work with a bunch of people in their 80s in Congress who are still working. But what we're saying is for those who want to retire, who've met the promise by paying into the system out of their paychecks, they should be able to retire with dignity and have Medicare available for them. And the simple fix is just making wealthy people pay their fair share rather than cutting benefits for the average person.
Thanks for that call. Time for one more call before we let you go, Representative Pocan. Elizabeth is with us in Verona. Elizabeth, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on the fact that I'm 25 years old. Neither of my parents can retire. I have been worried about my retirement savings since I started working at 16 and putting money into a 401k. And it's just, I don't think I'll be able to retire. Retirement's becoming a privilege, and those who make less aren't able to afford it.
Elizabeth, thanks for the call. Representative Pocan, your thoughts in your last minute with us.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we hear from people who call the office every single day. And, you know, first of all, I think we can make sure Social Security is there in the future. Again, a simple fix, make sure those who are the most wealthy, those who make more than $160,000, continue to pay into the program, which they don't do right now. But also, I think the caller brought up something that is very important, is that people should also start their retirement savings on their own as young as possible, because it definitely will help them. But, you know, I want to make sure that person who is living on a modest income, who's paid in and played by the rules, has money available for when they retire so they can retire with dignity. The best way we do that is you protect the programs of Social Security and Medicare. And the best way that we can do that is by bringing in the additional revenue to make sure it lasts for decades to come, not by cutting benefits. And if we are going to consider cutting benefits, let's make sure it's got a big bipartisan vote, because there must be a big reason to do it. And that means it takes 2/3 of a vote rather than a simple majority.
Thanks, Elizabeth, for the call. And Representative Pocan, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Mark Pocan is a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. He joined us to talk about the future of Social Security and Medicare. We'll stay with that topic with a health policy analyst and economist about threats, possible solutions for Social Security and Medicare. You can still join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your thoughts, your policy ideas. That's 800-642-1234. That's coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation about Social Security and Medicare and what's happening with the debt ceiling. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Timothy McBride joins us now, the Bernard Becker Professor at the Brown School of Social Work at Washington University in St. Louis. He's a health policy analyst and health economist. He's from Milwaukee, graduate of UW-Milwaukee, got his PhD at UW-Madison. Tim, welcome to Central Time and welcome back to Wisconsin.
Good afternoon. Thanks for inviting me.
You just heard our interview with Representative Pocan. As you watch the policy debates and the early stages in Congress right now, what do you have your eye on with these programs, Social Security and Medicare?
Yeah, I did listen to the interview, and it was really interesting to listen to the representative and listen to the callers. And I largely agree with Representative Pocan. I think the things that I would say is we shouldn't entangle this debate over the future of Social Security and Medicare with this federal budget debate extending the debt limit. That's the wrong thing to do. The future of these programs is way too important. The programs are, you know, actually pretty healthy, especially Social Security. You mentioned the challenges to Social Security. Medicare's got more challenges. We can talk about what those are, but, you know, those have to be done in a real careful bipartisan way and how we fix them and with a mind for what's causing the problems.
Yeah, we hear, I think, fairly often about the Social Security 2034 issue. What challenges are out there for Medicare when it comes to its long-term funding?
Yeah, both Social Security and Medicare face similar problems, but Medicare's got additional problem. You know, the retirement of the baby boom, you know, so we have a big 70 million population people retiring now going into the system. We have increased longevity of people at those age groups. But with the Medicare program, we have rising healthcare spending for this group that, you know, frankly, most years outpaces the growth of the revenues into the program. So we're always kind of tweaking the program to make the revenues balance the costs.
People lay out a lot of options to help fund both of these programs. It might be, hey, let's have a larger percentage of paychecks go into Medicare and Social Security. It might be, as we heard in that conversation with Representative Pocan, raising the income caps beyond which people don't pay more as they make more money, changing age requirements. The list goes on and on. What would be your, I guess, lowest hanging fruit to help address some of these budgeting difficulties?
Yeah, I think I would separate, again, the Social Security question from the Medicare question. And Social Security, I think, could actually be fairly resolved with a few fairly simple even changes that might not be that apparent to the beneficiaries. And, you know, one thing I'd point out to people is the last time we changed Social Security policy in a market way was 40 years ago. And think about any policy that has been in place for 40 years that hasn't changed. And that's pretty remarkable. So, but I think, you know, as you mentioned, the revenues and spending is going to become out of balance in a few years. And I think with a few changes, we could fix that. You know, the representative mentioned one of them, raising the cap on the taxes would be one. As you mentioned, we've already raised the age of eligibility for benefits. So I'm not sure that makes a lot of sense to do more to that. But I think there's some tweaks around the benefit formula that actually we could do as well. But I think they really need to be done in a bipartisan way. And I agree with Representative Polkin on that.
We're talking about Social Security and Medicare and their future in a new congressional session. A lot of budget issues, debt issues on the table, and people looking at the long-term well-being of Social Security and Medicare. Timothy McBride is with us, professor at the Brown School of Social Work at Washington University in St. Louis. You can join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Randy is with us in La Crosse. Randy, hi.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know if this has been brought up yet, but a huge problem that's coming up with Medicare is they are allowing Medicare to be privatized back again. And some of the funding issues, like right now, it's about almost 50% of people on Medicare are on a Medicare Advantage plan. And it's actually just back to private insurance. And it's got all kinds of the problems that private insurance has. And the older people are confused and don't even know that there's stuff coming at them. So,
Randy, thanks for the call. I know Representative Polkin also has legislation on that. We didn't get into it. But, Tim, is that something you have your eye on, these Medicare Advantage programs?
I agree with the caller completely. I've been a critic of those Medicare Advantage plans since they were created to save money for Medicare. But the reality is they've actually cost the program more than people who are not in the private plan since they got created. And that's sort of kind of unconscionable. So Congress has done some things to scale back that, but there's really a lot more that could be done to scale back the costs of private plans. And it's not where money should be spent in Medicare, because we need to spend it on delivery of services.
Randy, thanks for that call. We'll go to Corey now in Wausau. Corey, hello.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Corey?
Well, okay, first thing is I'm almost 50. I've been paying into Social Security my entire life of no choice of my own, and now I might not be eligible for it. So, and we have to look back to our history and our past and realize Social Security, you never used to have to pay tax on it, but every single person in office who has made it so that we have to pay tax on our Social Security has been a Democrat. So then now Biden is saying, well, we're going to have to increase our debt spending limit. And if not, well, then nobody's going to get Social Security. Why don't they say, well, then I guess Congress isn't going to get paid?
Corey, thanks for the call. First of all, the taxability of Social Security income, Tim, where did that come from?
That actually goes back to the 1983 balance, the amendments of Social Security, which were a bipartisan agreement between Ronald Reagan and the Democrats who were in Congress at that point. So those were phased in at that point. So, you know, that was kind of my point about that. And, you know, and so we've been taxing Social Security for quite a while. And I share the caller's concern about that. It feels troublesome maybe to pay Social Security taxes on it, but they were originally put on people who are somewhat higher income. But, you know, one of the things I don't like about that is the threshold's not been adjusted over time. And that's a change that I would put in place if I could.
Corey, thanks for the call. And speaking of the history of these programs, Tim, you wrote a piece late last year about Wisconsin's role. Just in our last minute or so, can you remind us how Wisconsin is connected to these programs?
Yeah, I think that's a great point to point out. You know, I got my dissertation in Madison, and you know, Wisconsin has a really historic connection to the creation of Social Security and Medicare, and the people who are on Franklin Roosevelt's original task force that created the Social Security program came largely from the economics department in Wisconsin. And Ed Witte, who, you know, that was his dorm named after him, was the leader of the researchers on that. And the people on Franklin Roosevelt's task force that came up with the proposals, which led to the passage of the Social Security Act, pretty much the minds that came to do that came from Wisconsin. So we have a really strong historical link to these programs. And that's one of the points of the article I made was, you know, we should stick with those views in Wisconsin and back up this program.
Tim, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks, sure.
That's Timothy McBride, professor at the Brown School of Social Work at Washington University in St. Louis. We talked to him about the future of Social Security and Medicare and some new bills aimed at protecting them from spending cuts. Earlier, we heard from Wisconsin Democratic Congressional Representative Mark Pocan. Still time for you to share your thoughts. And if there's a question about Social Security and Medicare you'd like to hear us talk about in a future conversation, let us know what that question is. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org.